Oh shit. Monday fucking morning, February 25th. I'm sitting here with the Flying Jew, my main man, and David Bowie. And the fucking bat of life. Look at this fucking thing. Three different reefers, hash, dipped in oil, stuck up the ass of some fucking terrorist. And here we are on a Monday morning smoking this motherfucker like we own this bitch. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Get up, cocksuckers. Hit it, Lee. Boom. Wiggle, Uncle Lee. Huh? Give me that shit. Come on, Lee. What? What? Like a doctor, motherfuckers. It's Monday, February 25th. Hope you had a great weekend. Everybody's smiling. Everybody's happy. Go out there. Write your goals. Do a couple jumping jacks. Wash that pussy. Wash those balls. Get out there with confidence like a fucking soldier. You understand me? Sitting here smoking. Look at this motherfucker. And we got one more and a half of one. And I got the vapor pen. I got some heroin with a fucking syringe. Look at Lee Lee Leland. What's up, baby?
I'm feeling great, man. How you doing?
Looking good. Look, you got color back to you. Had us worried there for a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. No, but yeah, I feel awesome. Feels good.
Okay, had a great week. Watched the Oscars.
Yeah, I did. I haven't watched
the whole fucking thing.
I did. For the past couple years, I haven't watched it. And I got to tell you, it's boring as hell. But Seth MacFarlane was funny. He was good at it.
All right, I watched the first 6 minutes, like when he was talking in the beginning.
Yeah.
And he cracked a dirty joke. Like, not a dirty joke, but it was offensive. Chris
Brown.
And they took those fucking white people locked up. Yeah. I told you, they fucking people. You have no idea what it's like. And the deeper you get to Beverly Hills to do comedy, the worse it gets. They all got sticks up their ass. They think they're bad to the bone. They could all suck my dick. Fucking people sitting there thinking they're fucking cool in the back. They had the Hindu in the back from the fucking Life of Pi. Did you see him? The Chinese guy won. They had the Hindu back there surrounded by fuck.
That movie looks so bad. It won every fucking award.
But I was happy for Ang Lee, for anybody else but Spielberg. I like Spielberg, but they get too comfortable. They think they fucking live in their ego. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like fucking Lincoln. Who gives a fuck about Abe Lincoln? I said it once. I said it 1,000 times. He cut an apple tree, 2,000 fucking years ago? You want to make a movie now about fucking Lincoln? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't give a fuck about that dude either. I was happy for Argo, though. I didn't watch the whole thing. I could hear. I was telling Lee I was answering your emails from thejoytears.net. So, as soon as the Oscars started, I watched like the first 6 minutes. My wife had the baby was sleeping. Bang! I went in, I was answering emails, and then I would pop out to check on them. But I remember the fucking thing that killed me was Latifah before the fucking Oscars, right? I was watching like on the red carpet, I was in the living room, and I'm like, most people get in shape for the fucking Oscars. This bitch went to White Castle every day before the fucking Oscars. And then they had the balls to say, like, what are you wearing? A curtain. Did you see what she... What the fuck you think she's wearing? I'm wearing Oscar de la Renta. Oh, that was a hard fucking design to make. What, she ripped down a fucking wall? We gotta get a dress for Latifah. What are we doing? Rip down a fucking wall and take the curtain and cut and fucking put her in it. Not that I'm no Slim Jim Magoo myself, but for the love of Christ. Speaking of Slim Jim Magoo, my brother fucking Lee is on a juice binge, and I'm proud of you, Lee.
Thanks, man. No, it's been good. I'm on day six now.
Thank God, because did you see the videos from day one and two? I thought somebody was fucking him in the air. Hi, my name is Lee.
It's tough.
I'm on a juicer. I really miss fried food. I'm like, what the fuck is this kid doing? He's embarrassing me. But then by day four, you were perky. Once you find out you lost the 25 pounds, and I'm proud of him. And I'll tell you why I'm proud of you. Because, listen, I'd much be happier that you're doing like a Weight Watchers type diet and learning how to eat again. You're putting your body in the right place, and as long as you're going in the right direction, God bless you. This is what the church of what's happening now is about. It's trying shit. You're not nothing's gonna happen unless you fucking try. So
I don't want to say quick fix, but it's a. I'm like shocking my body. I haven't had these many vegetables.
We're gonna have some more fucking vegetables. Here's the vegetables of life. Mix those with these, and what'll come out of your asshole is fucking pure AY. You know what I'm saying? All right, thank you, brother. Leave the Syed smoking. Hit him with. So what do you think, Uncle Lee?
So I haven't had vegetables like this in fucking ever. Like at most, I would have a couple a day, or just fucking beef and broccoli, which isn't really vegetables. So I've had nothing but vegetables and water for 6 days, and it's just it's totally cleaning up my system. But I do plan on going to Weight Watchers. when I start eating again, because, like I told you yesterday, the first thought that came into my mind when I saw I lost 25 pounds was, I deserve a treat. And that's fucking, that's horrible. That's going to send me right back down the path. So I gotta, because we were talking yesterday, and you said, like, no more fast food, and I know I can't, but I still want it, so I just have to, learn how to stop, and...
You know, Lee, after talking to you, and yeah, after seeing those videos, I've been around you for 2 years, and I know that when we're not together, I know you're not at the fucking gym hanging out with Jack Belay doing jumping jacks, and, like I said, I was not allowed to eat fast food when I was a child in the 70s. The only fast food I ate was Don't Cook Tonight, called Chicken Delight. It was delicious. It was nutritious fucking chicken. They just deep fried it, but it was chicken.
Yeah.
You know, when I go to Popeyes now for a piece of chicken, it ain't chicken. It's chicken with veins in it.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like a fucking dead foot that they just spray painted. It's chicken from some other fucking land. You know, the youth of today really has a problem. And I was breaking Lee down my fast food. I've never been a fast food guy.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to eat. When I was a kid, the kid who called last week, Steve Avillo, his girlfriend, we were 16, 15, worked at Burger King. So on Saturdays, we walk up and I eat a chicken sandwich. I was always in love with chicken sandwiches, not hamburgers. Yeah. Then when Wendy's in like 82, 83, me and Tommy Russo used to fucking go out to some Votech school. I wanted to be a plumber. That's when I thought I wanted to be a union plumber in 82. And we drive out, and on the way back, I'd eat two chicken sandwiches from Wendy's.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fucking fantastic. Then I never really ate that shit again until I moved to L.A. And one night, my wife went to McDonald's and got me a quarter pounder with cheese, and I lost my fucking mind. It was delicious, and I was on a quarter pounder tear. And I told you, I used to eat a breakfast at home, and then I stopped at McDonald's and get an egg McMuffin with two apple pies,
ooh,
a large Coke,
yep,
and nothing will kill you more. I heard this from about 10 people. Nothing will kill you more than having a soda for breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Like a real Coke, like for fucking breakfast, like with a buttered roll. Nothing kills you more.
Yeah.
And then you were telling me, I seen the video where you spoke about what you got a jack in
the mouth. Oh, yeah.
And when we spoke about what you ate at Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah.
I was, like, blown away. But then I sat and I looked at it from a different direction. I go, this is the way Lee looked at me when I smoked cigarettes. Lee couldn't figure out, I like Joey. Why is he doing this to his body?
Mm-hmm.
When you told me that, I could not understand the fast food
and thing. I thought about it, because when you said, like, you weren't allowed to eat fast food, my mom cooked almost probably six or seven nights of the week.
Yeah.
When it started getting bad for me was when I got a license and I got my car. I fucking went out every day, because my school was a school where you could go out when you were like a junior or senior. You could go out for lunch, and there was a pizza place 10 minutes away, not even, Sudbury Pizza, and we'd go there every day. And then after school, you'd go somewhere.
No, but I don't mind that you're getting a slice of pizza at a real pizza place. When you told me you went to Little Caesars.
Oh, that's new here.
$5 pizza with the wings. I almost died. I couldn't even imagine eating a Little Caesars pizza.
Oh, no. It's nothing like a good pizza. But fuck, after we would smoke at your house, go in there and get in some pizza and wings. Oh, shit. It's not bad when you're stoned.
Listen to me. I get high every fucking hour that I'm awake, and I would never consider going to Little Caesars. And the funny thing is that we spoke, and I told Lee, like, and I don't want the people to get me wrong on this. I love this country. I love the United States.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy that any place I go to, my wife, I like fricadelles. You know fricadelles?
No.
It's hamburger meat with breadcrumbs in it and an egg. It's a meatball, ooh, fried with green onions and onions.
Oh, shit.
And you put no bread.
Okay.
And I just put ketchup on it and eat it.
Okay.
And last night my wife goes, every time I make these once a week, I never see that you're so happy. I love the United States. Listen, when I came to this country, there was nothing more that made me feel like an American. Even after you learn English, nothing makes you feel like an American than eating American food.
Yeah.
A fucking hot dog, fries, and a fucking hamburger. That's it. That's as American as it gets. Then you have the second tier. Mm-hmm. You have meatloaf, corn on the cob, you know, roast beef, whatever. That's the second tier. Then you got the third tier, you know. But nothing made me feel more like an American than eating a fucking burger. Not the ones that my mother made. You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing. So I love all that. Like, I learned to eat that shit later on. When I got sick before my mother died, I had a lung infection.
Yeah.
At the hospital, my mother swore from now on we're back on the fucking all-American diet, which was salads, avocado salads, and all that shit. So I don't understand the whole fast food thing. I wish, you know, you're 24, and I explained to you that you were a young man. At 24, I had no body fat. I was snorting blow, jumping fences, robbing houses, not sleeping. When I left New Jersey in 83 and I went to Colorado, and this is no disrespect to Colorado, I went out a couple times to eat at night and the food was garbage.
Yeah.
So I knew that it was not going to be like the diners I was used to in Jersey, where you go in there and get a cheeseburger deluxe, motherfucker. Ooh. With fries, with mozzarella cheese and gravy on those motherfuckers, a few pickles. You get the house soup. You ever go to those? You get like the clam chowder. Then you get the, like, I used to go to the Berkshire Diner and they give you two pieces of white toast, toasted, and they cut a steak on top of it. An open steak sandwich, medallions with steak fries and onions on top of that motherfucker. What, Lee? What? What? Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with here? Ooh, that's the way you fucking eat like a savage. But to go to Taco Bell and get five tacos that aren't even meat and the nachos, this isn't even real fucking food. This is, and the youth of America is who's funding these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You guys are funding these motherfuckers. Even though, but it's, I cannot be mad at you. Whenever I bought a gram of Coke when I was 18, I knew it was fucking up my body, but I didn't give a fuck. This Taco Bell, all this shit, this fucks you up the same, but hey, you're the Captain Kirk of your fucking enterprise, you know? And I'm happy, Lee. I'm happy that you're taking a step in the right direction. I don't want you to have diabetes. You know, I avoided all that shit. Because even though I was fucked up, I always walked.
Oh, yeah, you're telling me. In North Bergen. And
I was always, I'm from the second hilliest, but even later on, even here in L.A., I would walk to the store. I'm a fat guy with unusual characteristics. You know, I could fly through the fucking air. I could throw sidekicks for Jesus. But it's because I've been doing it for so long. The other day I was in kickboxing and I was stretching. And some guy looked at me and he goes, how the fuck long have you been doing this? Look at your stretch. But even when I was 400 pounds, because of Eddie Bravo, I always stretched. I always stretched because of Eddie. Eddie always said that when he's at home watching TV, he doesn't watch TV, he stretches. So from now on, you don't watch TV on those nice couches. You're on the floor stretching, calisthenics, push-ups, sit-ups. That's how Eddie watches TV. He would work on his core while he watched TV.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And, you know, you do bridges. And you get better and fucking better. And, you know, till today, I still stretch. I try to stretch as much as I can because it breaks the fat. You drink water. And that's another thing you said to me. Tell the fucking people what you told me yesterday.
Oh, about Diet Coke? Oh, yeah. I would go... I'd probably go weeks. Unless the only time I probably would drink water is if I went to like one of the restaurants and they'd give you a cup of water or a bar, like it's can have a glass of water. But I'd probably go weeks just Diet Coke.
Oh my god!
And that's why I think I lost so much weight so quickly, because it's just
everyone says it just
makes you retain your water.
You know, it's funny that when I was a kid, my mother made me drink water. They always had fucking frozen water in the refrigerator. With sheets of ice and ice cube. That's how she would start it. She put like 22 things of ice and then water from the sink. It wasn't how it was today. You couldn't drink the fucking water from the sink. And then I laid off it for a while. But I was like you. If I got at a restaurant, I would drink I love Chinese food with water.
Oh, yeah. That tastes great.
Oh, fucking nuts.
And those little brown glasses.
Yeah. With a couple ice cubes and a straw and shit. Give me some. Last night I was craving Szechuan beef. Like, I'm like you, dog. I'm a fat fuck at heart.
Yeah.
You know, I put my pants on just like everybody else in the fucking world. Everybody, that's why I hate these. We all put our pants on the same fucking way. Nobody's better than you. But, bro, last night I was sitting there and I had a protein shake last night for dinner. Because she made the fricadelles at like 5 before the Oscars. When I got back from the Y, the fricadelles were done. I had a salad with the fricadelles. And then last night I was still fucking hungry. And I was sitting there like at 9 o'clock going, God damn, I could go for some Szechuan beef with the carrots and some steamed rice and a good East Coast fucking egg roll with some hot sauce from Chan's Dragon in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with the Chan's Dragon. How many of those egg rolls did I eat that night?
About probably 16? Two or three, yeah.
I don't fuck around. When I go to work,
and
I go
to
work.
It's the big ones. It's not the spring
rolls. Yeah, these are the real fucking Jersey fucking egg rolls. But, you know, Lee, I settled down. What did I tell you last night? That every Sunday I go to the farmer's market and I buy a bag of fucking the best apples they got.
Yeah.
Because if you're hungry at night, and don't get me wrong, dog, on Friday nights when I'm coming back from the Laugh Factory or the Haha, I got to get a burrito from the burrito man, from the tamale man, but they're small. Mm-hmm. Those burritos are small, like 6 points a piece if I add the guacamole and the pico de gallo to it. So I love to eat, but I know that,
yeah, you
know, like if I think I'm going to get an open steak sandwich at Denny's, I'm just going to get depressed. So I'd just rather go home and eat a fucking apple.
Yeah, there was a kid who, or a guy who commented on one of my, a bunch of my videos, who said he was 18 and 350 pounds. And he said in a comment he thinks he's going to be dead by 25. And the one thing I always hate as a fat person is old fat guys who start preaching, or even just skinny guys who act like they know all the things. So I'm not going to say that.
Well, I hate the skinny guys that make you feel bad.
Yeah.
When they preach to you, they make you feel bad. I'm not in business to make nobody feel bad.
Yeah.
My wife said that one day we were walking, you and me were carrying some, and she goes, I could tell Lee was having a hard time with it. So like 2 days later, she goes, have you spoken to Lee about going to the gym and stuff? And I go, it's not my place. I love Lee like a brother. You know, I could sit here. People, do you know how many people talk to me about Coke? Maybe 3 or 4, and I wouldn't listen, or food or health or whatever. We have to go for it ourselves.
Yeah, that's the entire that's thing.
We know exactly what to do. We always know what to do. You know when it's time to go on a fucking diet. You know when you go up those stairs in a basketball game that you're fucked. I got to do something. I got to start going to the Y.
Yeah.
I mean, see, my downfall is just fucking smoking. Like, I went yesterday on the treadmill. I bought those new sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to do Dolce's 20 minute. I fucking did it, but god damn, I have a hard time running, Lee.
Yeah, it's tough when you're this big and then smoking.
Damn, I got a hard time running.
How long did you smoke cigarettes for?
I never smoked cigarettes until I moved to Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
And then I smoked for like 5 years, and then I stopped for 7 years, and then for a year I smoked at night again, and then I stopped. Now I don't smoke again. And it's been 3 months, and I can still feel it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting tremendous cardio at kickboxing. I could do the whole hour and a half now. And,
oh, shit. That's
class. No, and I could do the rounds, and last week I did a little jiu-jitsu, and that's fucked up. When somebody gets on you and wears down on you, that's when I have a hard time breathing. But in time with the weight and the whole thing. Listen, Lee, I'm proud of you.
Thanks, man.
You're inspiring me. And your videos, I'm going to follow you and support you. And you know, that's why I looked at you yesterday and I said, you know, listen, man, I got off blow 5 fucking years ago. And I don't fuck around.
Yeah.
When you make a decision in your life, you do not fuck around. You never go back. Once you make that decision, that's why I tell people, don't stop doing it until you're fucking ready. If not, you're going to go to 20 rehabs. But one day you're going to wake up and go, I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah.
I'm fucking sick of this shit. There's more to me than fucking wasting it on cheeseburgers or cigarettes or blow or fucking alcohol or this dirty bitch or this guy who's fucking sticking fingers up my asshole at night. I'm done. And you stick to your fucking word because you owe it to yourself as a man, whatever. You know, I'm a 3 fucking 10 right now and I'm a fat fuck, but I know I go to the gym and I try. And I know when I was 4'15", I wasn't trying. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to fucking feel fat and go, fuck it, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the store and get another container, Ben and Jerry's New York Super Fudge Chunk and a gallon of fucking Coke and eat the whole fucking thing. And then at one, I'm like, you know, I knew it. But you don't want to get out. You got out of the cycle. And that's what the church of what's happening now is all motherfucking about, especially on a Monday morning. You writing goals down? Like,
I heard that
you said 175 pounds, and I'm with you, dog. Whatever you fucking need from me, you need for us to run, go to the store, motherfucking, you need to hijack a fucking lettuce truck. We're here, as long as you don't look like Queen Latifah and shit like that. How good did Mrs. Obama look like?
Normally her arms are a little bit too much. She was like, she was pretty.
I'm going to rip those fucking bangs off and eat that fucking monkey one of these days. I love her. I love Mrs. Obama. I don't give a fuck if the drones come get me.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Do you think that was live? I was thinking, I don't know. It looked kind of live, but I couldn't tell.
She's bad to the bone. I would eat her ass and everything, Miss Obama. Well, anyway, let's hit it, Lee. A little Tony Bennett. It's Monday morning. 6 something in the fucking morning. 9 something in the East Coast. I love you, cocksuckers. Get up. Wash your dick. Wash your pussy. Get out there. Get on that train and let them know who the fucking conductor is, motherfucker. Hit it, Lee. Where's that reefer, Lee? You're holding out on me, cocksucker.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your
heart. Oh, shit, Lily, Lily. Lily, he seen the chick that's going to fart in his face yesterday.
He had joked around with me that she was like a 400-pound black girl and she was going to eat nothing but sour cream from Taco Bell for 2 weeks, but she came up and she was wearing yoga pants.
Come on, those... Lee, the music.
I'm sorry.
Come smoke some reef, Uncle Lee. Come get the fucking with Lee.
Who'll leave you to learn
that misery? Let's smoke that green. Lee, Lee, Lee.
Wait and see.
Oh shit, Monday morning. Do some jumping jacks, come in the face. Do what you need to do to get motivated. You only have one fucking Monday, but thank God they come every week. And you motherfuckers are savages because you're watching this church of what's happening now. I'm sure you had a good fucking breakfast because breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And you took some of your fucking Omnip products. You took your little immune sport. You took your little strong bone. You made your little hemp protein shake with your one fucking egg with the quinoa or whatever the fuck you're doing. Because it's very important. Go to Onnit.com and look at that T testosterone thing, the T1. I got it at home the other day. I haven't started to use it. I have to go to the doctor this week. Once I go to the doctor, when I come back from Louisiana, I'm going to go. We're going to do live. I'm going to make videos like fucking Lee. The whole thing. We're going to start a fucking church of what's happening now. Revolutionary for fat dudes. So it's Fat Man Alert. Fat Man Alert. Fat Man Alert. It's Monday fucking morning. Your lucky day's coming, cocksucker. You're going to get off the fucking thing. You're going to do some jumping jacks. You're going to look good. Nobody's going to throw sand in your face this fucking summer.
Jesus.
So I was telling Lee what happened. I got insulted by some people. Some people thought I was a piece of shit. One thing Ari Shafir always says about me, and that's a Jew compliment. He always goes, one thing about Joey Diaz, a cocksucker pays his bills. I take pride in that. When I was a kid, I used to beat drug dealers. We all beat them for a 5 or a 10. We forget about that G-Bo altogether. But I don't like that thing. I always want people to trust me. If I come to you and say, Lee, I need 2,000, and you give it to me, I go, Lee, I have a Friday. If I don't have a Friday by 5, I call you at 5:01. I go, Lee, I have it for you Sunday. I don't want you to hunt me down. I beat some loan sharks. We all fucking do. But I'm talking people who work for a living, people who give you their trust. So I was telling you guys a couple of weeks ago that I was in Columbus. When I come back, they took fucking $3,900 out of my bank account. Oof. Now the chick's 23 years old. I started getting emails from people, Joey, pay the fucking charge. I go, you have no idea what this is like when you don't get a real number. A couple of years ago, the number was really high, and somebody robbed my car, and they took all my receipts. So thank God I always made my money orders on Hollywood Boulevard on that one check cashing place. So my wife had to go in there and get all the receipts of the money orders. So if not, I would have fucking owed $100,000. That knocked $40,000 off because my 30th wife wouldn't tell the people she was getting the fucking checks. You have no idea what I went through. That's why I was so upset that morning, because you stopped paying child support at fucking 18.
Yeah.
She's 23, Lee, and they're still taking money out. And they forget, and they took the order down from my checks, but every once in a while, like once a year, they just take fucking, you know, a check, you know, like I'm getting a check from the longest yard or something, they'll take the whole fucking thing, and I gotta call the state and get a refund. You know how long, you know how slow those motherfuckers work?
Yeah.
When it's your money, they want it right away, or they'll shut the fucking lights. But if it's their money, oh, they gotta put up in front of the Board of Ed and get okay to write a check, and that takes 30 fucking days, and then they send you the check on horseback. You ever get those fucking checks sent to your horseback and shit? What the fuck? It's my paper. Send it immediately.
Yeah.
But, so finally I called, and I guess she put up another order from a credit card I owed from 1991. So, I was telling Lee, my wife calls, she comes in the room, she goes, you better sit down. She goes, they say you owe 41,000 gazines. So we called an attorney. The attorney wanted 5 just to pay the 41.
Jesus Christ. So that's 46.
So that's 46. So you know the Cuban Jew, my wife. She calls on Monday and they go, no. Pay a payment plan. Make the first payment for 14 G-Bos. In 4 easy payment plans. I'm going to knock it off. So I was going to pay 14, 14, and like 6 and 6. Something ridiculous. Plus the 5 to the attorney.
Oh my God. Never have kids.
And just as I was going about to do that, Tuesday morning, I got a call from Colorado, and they're like, hey, California's not allowed to charge you fucking interest. You paid your debt to society. You're free. It's over. Give us your address. We owe you money.
Oh, shit.
So they put the $3,900 back in my fucking account, and that's what I was angry about. I was not angry about paying child support. I know my debt to society. It's bad enough I didn't fucking raise it. The least I could do is just make good at this, and at least I could live my life with a fucking clean conscience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how I roll. So when that lady called me back from Colorado, That attorney wanted 5 G's as a retainer.
And he wouldn't have given it back.
And he wouldn't have given it back and called me. If he would have been smart, he would have called me and asked for another 2,500. You know what, Lee? I would have.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to call back and get a bump. That's what that's called, a little fucking bump. Speaking of bumps, anybody see the history of the Eagles this weekend on Showtime?
Oh, you told me about that. I haven't seen it yet.
You know, I once made a statement, if you're not on heroin, I don't want to listen to you. And I'm right. I don't. Watch this shit. Watch what these motherfuckers are doing on the third. I've always loved the Eagles. I've always loved that guitar type, that harmony. You know, in the 8th and 7th grade, I listened to Hotel California every fucking day for 2 years. The whole album, Victim of Love. First time I ever heard them was in Miami. I heard One of These Nights. Holy shit. I'm looking for the daughter of the devil himself. I've been searching for an angel in white. I've been waiting for a woman who's a little of both, but I can see him when there's nowhere in sight.
Oh, shit.
I'm dropping on you motherfuckers on a Monday morning here. What time you got, Lee?
6:30.
Want to play some music with these cops? Up?
Sure, why not?
What do you want to play, man?
I've got Biggie Smalls lined up.
Hit it! A little something for you Monday morning to get your shit together. Oh, shit. Here you go. Huh? Lee, hit this fucking thing. You got me over here like an orphan by myself hitting this. I got two going. I got a fucking vapor pen. It's Monday, motherfuckers. Get up. It's a beautiful day.
That's you paging him.
See who's this paging me and why.
It's my nigga Pop from the barbershop. Told me he was in the gambling spot and heard the
intro. Lee, what's the story here?
I've had enough.
Come here, you had enough. You ain't even started. What are you, Donna Summer? You had enough. Oh shit. Nah, that my nigga, nah, love wouldn't disrespect. Love wouldn't disrespect. 25 years old when he made this. Are you fucking kidding me? Love wouldn't disrespect.
Oh shit.
Before my paper, what about the best part of the Oscars was I heard my wife going, honey, hurry up, come in here. And I ran in and Barbara Streisand was there. And that's when all the Jews were at home jumping up and down.
Oh, yeah.
She's the baddest motherfucker of all. I love when she shows up. She always brings bad news, that bitch. As soon as she showed up, what's his name? Knew he didn't win the director.
Spielberg?
Spielberg. He knew it. They always bring a Jew to give you the bad news. They never sound like a Gentile to give you a bread. They bring one of your own. Go out there and tell that fucking mutt.
Oh, fucking
he's in no danger. We're giving it to the fucking Chinaman this year. We're giving it to Ang Lee. Fuck them.
Oh, shit. Did you see Kristen Stewart?
Oh, she's a filthy.
Is she on heroin or something? She came out and she
You know what she's on? Cock. That's what she's on. Sperm. She fucking shoots it intravenously into her asshole in a fucking dirty, filthy fucking snatch. She's a filthy fucking animal.
Oh, yeah.
When she came out last night, she looked like Guns N' Roses when they won the fucking Grammys in 87 that they were all fucked up. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. White America was not ready for Guns N' Roses. And they were fucked up on booze, H, Gorilla Biscuits. Did you see her hair was all fucked
up?
Oh,
yeah. She was sweaty.
It was like somebody was fucking her. She was fucked up on something.
Oh, yeah.
Two people, her and Renee Zellweger.
Oh, I didn't
see
her.
That bitch is always fucking high on pills or Tumenols or Gazuganol, something. She can't be that fucking retarded. And I love her. I love her. Don't get me wrong. Renee Zellweger is my bitch. I love her. Don't get me fucking wrong at all. I love Renee Zellweger. And The Champ, the movie with the fucking Australian guy from... when they play the guy from North Bergen. That guy's a cop. His grandson's a cop in my hometown, you know. No. The Cinderella Man.
Oh, really? Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
North Bergen, New Jersey. Who the fuck you think you're dealing with, dog? That's part of the whole fucking patois. And she was great in Jerry Maguire. She was very cute and very real in Jerry Maguire. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Is this my main man, Tim Donahue? What's happening, beautiful?
What's going on, pal?
You know me, man. In the middle here trying to put the fucking week together. Hope you're doing well. I was appreciating you with the kids last night. Look at you.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do, right?
How many girls you got?
Four daughters.
Oh, my fucking God. That's real pressure.
Yeah, they keep me busy, trust me.
What are the ages?
16, 15, 13, and 12.
You're the kiss of death, Tim. You beat yourself up all the fucking time. You didn't give yourself no rest. I have a 7-week-old, right? I look at her every day, and I'm thinking of the worst fucking things, but what are you going to do? I'm thinking of stabbing people already, and some 2-year-old hit on her. I almost kicked the fuck out of him the other day. You know how it is, man. Where are you at today?
What's young that? Wife, huh?
No, I got a 43-year-old wife, and I'm 50. And we got cats. We were together for years. We've been together 14 years in July, and we were like, we're never going to have kids. I smoke dope and shit, so I just thought the sperm was contaminated. But look at that. You know, the sperm. She's beautiful and healthy. Yeah, I thought the thing was spoiled. What did he say in Little Rascals? Don't drink the milk. Shh, it's spoiled. Right. Pass it down. That's what I thought the sperm was. I'm happy you called for two reasons. I love you to death, and I got your book, Personal File. I got it on Amazon.com, and I've read a couple chapters, and I'll tell you what, I really, really like the book, Tim. I'm proud of you. It inspires me to write a fucking book. This is a great book. I want to ask you about your buddy Baba there.
Yeah.
So he was the kiss fuck of death. Face. Yeah, fuck face.
He was. He couldn't keep his fucking mouth shut, which ruined this. I mean, obviously, I did some stuff that was stupid and wrong, but he had diarrhea of the mouth, and it got all over the place, and the FBI became involved.
It's amazing. You know, you mentioned your tremendous resume, you know, 13 years and no problems and blah, 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 and working hard in Villanova, and, you know, you're fucking Irish and you're beautiful and everything. And what I got from what I read was you kept mentioning the 4 years of this fucking horror, you know? And how long ago was this? This is, you got sentenced when? In 2005?
2007, I got sentenced.
Okay, and then you got out 2009, right?
Before that.
Right, and when you look back at those 4 years, what do you... Is it like black and white in your life?
It is. It's something I'm always going to remember because, you know, when you look at where I was and what I had and what I fell into, it's hard for people that don't make major mistakes or fall down hard in their life to realize how I could have done something so stupid. So, I mean, it's always going to be there for me, but, you know, it's not how you fall. It's how you get back up. So, I'm getting back up, and I'm moving forward, and things are getting a lot better. It's just taking a little bit of time.
You know, Tim, it's easy. I know that Danny spoke to you a little about me. I got convicted of, second-degree burglary and kidnapping, too, and I, too, never, you know, got in trouble again. I mean, I smacked some people, got in trouble in Seattle, but I never ended up doing anything bad to go back to prison. And you're right, it's not how you fall, but you get up. But I think about what led up to me putting a machine gun to this kid and taking them to a trunk of a car. I think of those 2 years before that. And if they ever rewrote my story, the movie would be in color. But when it comes to that part of my life, it would be black and white. Because that's how I felt inside. And when I read your book, that's how I saw those 4 years, how you felt inside. They were giving you $2,000 a game. Here you were caught in a fucking circle. You were a spoke on a wheel. You know, you were a spoke on a fucking wheel that they didn't give a fuck about you. They just wanted to keep making money. And here you were
on this wheel.
And the best thing that ever happened to you was that the feds were listening. That's the best fucking story I've ever heard in my life. That you got nailed because the feds were listening to these assholes, and in the whole transaction, they picked you up.
Right.
Tim, it's, and I'm not mad at you at all, Tim, because I know what happened to me. I always tell people how fast you could get caught up in something in your life. That how fast, it's a fucking memory. 1 minute you're in your house watching TV, the next minute you're in a car going to fucking shoot somebody with a friend of yours that you don't even know who the fuck, you know what I'm saying? It's situations like right. that. And I know that's what you were a part of. I mean, hey, listen, don't get me wrong. You're no fucking saint here. You were no fucking saint like I wasn't. You were enjoying it for a while, but then you got caught up in something. Break down what you were living at that point.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I was, living a great life and doing things I wanted to do, and then when I realized that, you know, I needed to get out of this, that this wasn't right, that it could cause me and my family a lot of problems, when I wanted to get out of it, I couldn't because the information was being passed to the wise guys, and they wanted to keep getting that information because they were making millions and millions of dollars off of my picks. So the bottom line is they picked me up, threw me in a car and threatened me. And the bottom line was, is I knew that I was caught. So I had really one choice, and that was to continue to give them the picture, or I was going down. What I didn't realize is I was going to go down anyway. But, you know, I rolled the dice in hopes that I was going to be able to provide them what they needed. And at the end of it, everything was going to be let go and forgotten. And they would have their money, and I would still have my job. But we all know life doesn't work that way.
Now, how long after they got you in the car did you continue to give pics out?
I gave them pics for about 3 months after I was in that car with them that night. And probably won about 75 to 80% of the games. And they were betting hundreds of thousands of dollars on these pics and just raking it in.
Now, in your book, you also spoke about how you were doing these picks and you were picking other games. Not only the games you were reffing, but you were picking them on how the relationships, what people don't see behind the curtain, the relationships and the politics between the team owners and the refs, and that one story you tell about the ref's grandson talking to Allen Iverson. You made some tremendous points in there.
It comes down to relationships, just like in anything in life. There's positive relationships and negative relationships between referees and players, referees and coaches, and referees and owners. And those relationships change the line on those games by 5, 6, and 7 points sometimes, whether it was a good relationship or a bad relationship. You were either going to get the calls or you're going to get it stuck up your ass. And it happened. It happened on a nightly basis, and it still happens today. And that's why working with Danny and doing things that we do, we're able to put out an enormous amount of winners on some of these plays that we put out.
Now, let me ask you this.
Take advantage of it.
When I was looking for your book, there's a couple of books on this subject, on the Tim Donaghy thing, correct? Or is this the only book? What other book is there? Was that one written by you also?
No, there was another book. I'm not sure who wrote it, but you know, my book is the only book that was supported by the FBI, to where the FBI agent wrote the foreword for it and said that I told the truth at any time. I know there was a couple other things written. I'm not sure who wrote them.
Okay, and those other books, was it a book that Baba wrote or somebody in the Gambinos?
I think it was something that he was associated with. I don't think that he could write two sentences and string them together, so I'm certainly sure he didn't write the book, but now, I'm not sure who did.
Now, where's Baba today?
Baba, I believe, is up somewhere in Pennsylvania working at a health club.
And what about the other guy, your buddy, your really good friend?
Jack and Cannon is still an insurance agent in, outside Philadelphia, and Martino's a hairdresser in Philadelphia also.
You talk to these guys anymore, or there's no contact at all?
I talked to Martino a little bit, not much. I haven't talked to Batista or King Cannon. I just think those relationships are pretty much finished when, you talk about, certainly, making the choices that I did, which were bad and dumb, but, you know, those guys kind of really took everything that I was giving them to a whole nother level and kind of put us all in a bad position.
It really is. You know, like when I lived in Boulder, there was a guy I knew that was bringing in weed to taking it out of Boulder, but he was picking it up in Craig, Colorado. And he went to Craig, he went to Boulder to see his wife, and he went to a hotel. He parked the truck, and he went to his hotel room with a suitcase with cash or whatever. There was $40,000 cash and a gun. He runs out of ice. He goes downstairs, and in that minute, the fucking maid comes in, sees the bag with the gun, and calls the fucking cops. He comes back to his room. He sits there. He orders food. He sleeps. He's getting ready to fucking get out, and they arrest him. They take the keys from his pocket. They ask him where his vehicle is. They find the truck. He's got 200 pounds in there.
Oh, my God.
You know, you never know in this life how you're going to get caught up in a circle. When I got in trouble, when I left the guys that I was kidnapping, they had the guy tied up and everything was fine. The next morning, I wake up to he got caught driving with the guy in the trunk with his headlights off. I got nailed because this fucking guy was driving with a guy in his trunk with the headlights off. And it proves to me that either God or the higher power has a fucked up sense of humor. And for guys like you and me, it's a second chance. You have to take advantage of the second chance. Because this shit doesn't, you can't write this shit.
Exactly.
You can't write that a wiretap on somebody else saved your life. Because, listen, eventually something was going to happen. You would go bad. You would stop giving them picks. And they were going to fucking kill you.
They were going to do something because they were definitely took it to the point where they were threatening my wife and kids in Florida. So they needed those picks because it was bringing in millions and millions of dollars. You know, gambling is a $1 billion a year business, and they were raking it in, and it was able to keep their operations moving at a high level.
Oh, please. And what the fuck were the Gambinos doing? I mean, these guys are doing child prostitution in New York. The last bust, these guys are down to nothing. They're down to nothing. They don't move H no more. The coke belongs to the ethnics. You know, the unions got taken from them, so all they really have are the blue-collar roughing loans and gambling. That's it. Maybe some stock fraud, maybe some long-distance cards, whatever the fuck they do. So you were a cash cow for these fucking morons.
Oh, a huge cash cow. I mean, when you talk about looking back now and talking to some of the agents and, listening to how these lines were moving 2, 3 points after this guy Baba placed these bets, and how he was betting $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 a game, and telling other people to bet that much. It was a $1 million a night operation.
Now, how has it been going this year as a tout that you're giving out picks? How have you been doing this year?
Yeah, Danny B and I have been doing very good. I'm getting ready to launch a website, refpicks.com, coming up in association with Danny B. I'm still going to be working with him. So we have a lot of things going. You know, he's a dynamic guy on the radio, off the radio. So he's a good guy to be attached to at the hip. So looking forward to bigger and better things coming, and just keep producing winners. And the bottom line, winning cures everything, because it still puts money in people's pockets.
Now, do you also do college, just as a question there?
We do college. We look at college games. I know a lot of the referees in the college business. I know a lot of people in the college atmosphere. So we certainly do put out college, and we're getting ready for a big run in March Madness also.
And then you have the pro basketball till fucking June, correct? The second week of June.
Right.
This has been a weird year for pro basketball. I went to a Laker game, and it's funny to go to a Laker game, and they ain't doing dick this year. Even the refs can't fucking help them.
Yeah, they're going to help them. You're going to see, I'm going to tell you right now on your show, you heard it from me, you're going to see the Lakers sneak into the playoffs.
Do you know what? The other day I was watching the playoffs. I wasn't watching it. The pre-fucking thing was on, and I don't really watch. Listen, I live here. I've lived here for 15 years. And after a while as a comedian, you go to these shows at night, and they're not starting the show until the Laker game is over. So you learn to hate them at first. But then after a while, you go, what am I going to do? You can't beat them, join them. I've always been a Kobe Bryant fan. You know I'm a basketball fan altogether. I've always been a Kobe fan. I went to watch him about 5 years ago before the Heat got LeBron. And he was tremendous, Kobe. But the guy from Miami was tremendous also.
Dwayne Wade
was just amazing. It was a great basketball. And I've been a Laker fan now because of Kobe, watching him and cheering for him. And the other day, fucking Shaq, this cocksucker on national TV goes, well, look at the Lakers. They ain't even going to make the playoffs this year. And my heart snapped. I'm like, that's amazing that the Lakers aren't going to make the playoffs. And now I'm cheering for them just to get the fucking last spot, just to prove fucking Shaq wrong, you know?
Yeah, they'll get it. They have to get it. They have a pretty good team. They're playing better basketball now. They got a couple games left. They're winning at a much better clip now. So if they can continue to do this, they had a big win yesterday in Dallas. They're going to be okay.
And that's showtime. People want to watch the Lakers. And listen, there's a couple teams I watch that you sit there and you're ready to put a gun in your fucking mouth. But there's some teams you watch and you're like, wow, this is great basketball. You know, I always like watching the Celtics because of that fucking lunatic, you know, telling people his wife tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios and all that shit. You know, Miami, I can't stand watching because I hate LeBron. I can't, especially when he wears fucking glasses. It drives me crazy. But I don't mind. Even the Knicks, I didn't mind watching last year with Carmelo. There's some teams I like watching the Denver Nuggets sometimes. I like watching some teams, so I know how that appeals to television. The television ratings have a lot to do with the playoffs and whatnot. So it's really, your book was fucking great, Tim. And when I spoke to Danny last week, I was very impressed with what I read from the book. I'm going to have a week now in New Orleans where I'm going to read it cover to cover, and I'll get you back on again, and we'll bust your balls a little bit more. Now, what are you doing baseball season? You make no fucking money, cocksucker?
Oh, no, no, no. I lean right on Danny B. Danny B's the baseball expert. You know how good of an athlete he was back in his day in baseball. So he follows that. He's got a great system, and he knocks him dead come baseball season. So we really don't miss a beat.
And where can these guys find you now? Where can we get some NBA picks if we're down in a hole right now and we need to make some fucking dough?
We go on DannyBWins.com, and there's an 800 number they can call if they want to speak to us live, or they can go on RefPicks.com, and they can check us out there. That site should be up and running this week. So we got a lot of different avenues, we'll talk to anybody that gives us a buzz, and we'll help them out.
Now, I'm sure with your experience and what you've gone through and the eye you have and your intelligence that you could pick one winner a night if there's like six games, correct?
One winner a night.
Yes.
I can do better than that.
No shit. So if four nights a week, if I called you and I bet 100 a game, that means I'd make 1600 a fucking month, ladies and gentlemen. Get this man on the phone right now and make some money this basketball season. Stop being a fucking loser. Call the 800 number. Go on fucking the ref guy here and cut the shit. You need cash. This guy can get you one winner a night without you being a fucking greedy cocksucker like those mob guys. If you just bet one game a night at a deuce, that's 800. That's fucking, four times. That's 800 a week. That's 3,200 a month. That's what most people go to college to fucking learn. You heard it here on the Church of What's Happening Now. We don't only talk about health and fitness and jumping jacks and reefer and eating ass. We also talk about putting little fucking Do-Re Mi in your pocket. Tell him, Tim Donahue. Donahue, I'm
absolutely.
Sorry.
Absolutely. Pick up that phone, 800-308-9003. Give us a buzz and go on the website, refpick.com, and we'll do some business.
I love you, buddy. Have a great week, all right? And have a great week picking them.
Have a great time in New Orleans.
And stay black, baby. I love you.
All right. See you, buddy.
Yeah, so for you guys that want to be gangsters and your OGs, get this motherfucker on the phone. That's how you make money. If some guy can make you 200 a fucking night times four, let's not get greedy. I'm not going to go seven nights a week. Eventually, it's going to go fucking south. But if I get four nights a week, that's 800 a fucking week. You're putting up your bookmaker's ass. That's 3,200 a month. Now, so you got March, April, May, and half of June. That means by the summer, you got 10 G's in your pocket, and you're slinging dick like Biggie in 95. You follow me? Lee fucking Leland. It's Monday. You know, Lee, you're looking better.
Thanks, man.
Every time I come in, he had the bag on the eyes like the fucking werewolf. You shaved a little bit. I don't have a fucking FBI car out there looking at you. They're half a fucking terrorist Jew, cocksucker.
I'm trying.
I love you. I'm proud of you, Lee. It's a good fucking week. It's going to be a good week for all you motherfuckers. What? Did I give a shout-out? Here you go, motherfuckers. I got some good shout-outs this week, you fucking filthy animals. I got Doug Paquette. I love you, cocksucker. The Enlightened Chimp. Chef Rob Beachwood, Bechtold. I'll see you down in New Orleans, cocksucker. Kyle Lesnity, Mark Gildon, you're back. Jordan Lee, you cocksucker. Thank you for inspiring my brother over here and making him juice and stick fingers up his asshole and whatnot. We got Bender St. James. We got Stephen Lee. We got Kyle Ship. I see that you're trying. And we got Anthony Mayer. I love you, cocksucker. And that's it. That's all I can tell you, motherfuckers, and a beautiful Monday morning. What do you got for these people? Are you going to tell? Are you going to inspire these people today? Whatever.
Well, no. I'm excited to hear about New Orleans after next week because you're doing two shows down there, and you're doing a movie. Fuck, I wish I could go. So your shows are Friday the 8th and Sunday the 10th.
Friday the 8th, Sunday the 10th at Latin Nuit Theater in Le Nuit Theater in the New Orleans. It's on brown paper tickets. Go. I got Testicle Testaments fucking Wednesday. We got Brea this fucking weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think Barbara Streisand's coming down Sunday with a box of yarmulkes and some fucking whitefish. What? You can't even eat whitefish no more. See, believe me, you don't eat fucking Jew food. Jew food would be fucking good for you.
Yeah, that's true.
But you don't eat it. Deli food. You refuse to eat it. How come nobody's ever made like a fast food Jew place? That's where we make millions, Lee.
That'd be fucking great.
Listen, what we're going to do, we're going to let this chick fart in your face. We're going to go down. I'm going to take the proceeds and open up a Jew fast food. Matzo ball soup.
Okay, yeah.
Pastrami sandwiches, lights, something on the move.
Yeah.
That's the name of the place. Jews on the move. Jews on the run. We lay on the fucking sand blankets and shit. People don't even know who we are. We just pop up with a fucking bag and a knish.
Oh, knishes are great.
Oh, my God. When I was a kid, my mother had a fucking... When we first moved from Cuba... maybe 3-4 years later, my mother had a dry cleaner up in Tremont Avenue in the fucking Bronx. Death Squad Harlem, I've been thinking about you, motherfucker. What are you, in jail doing time? I haven't even seen him on Twitter, but Death Squad Connecticut, hold on, we'll be talking to you soon. And on the weekends, like during the week, I had no school in the summer, so I would go up to Tremont Avenue up there by Grand Concourse. The name of the dry cleaners was Quality Cleaners. Upstairs was the numbers operation.
Okay.
The guy my mother was partners with, his name was Nelson, and he had a wife named Delilah. And they had a big German shepherd named fucking Killer who bit my face when I was 3. That's where the little scars are from on my face.
Jesus.
He bit my face when I was 3. I had to go to fucking hospital and shit. That's the only place I was thinking about. When was the last time I got mugged? It was up there. It was up there. I didn't get mugged. They chased me like fucking 2 miles. I had to run and shit like a motherfucker. But there was a place on the corner, Lee. You want to talk about good food? They had knishes. And they toast, oh my God, with some fucking mustard. But they also had sherbet ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And they put Sprite in there and shake it up. Ooh, you ever have that?
No. What kind of sherbet?
The rainbow sherbet. You shake that. You melt it.
Yeah.
And it gets nice and creamy with a fucking spoon. Then you pour the Sprite on that motherfucker. You don't know what your asshole feels like as you're drinking that. It just starts regurgitating. Ta, 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 ta. Like fucking that little Liz Kambucha's asshole when she had Ronda Rousey by the fucking neck.
Oh, that was good.
And she was choking her out. That little fucking gay tendencies. Your little monkey was on fire and shit. Because she was choking a motherfucker out. Sometimes those chicks, they get choked out. They get all fucking hot. How good did Ronda Rousey look in those fucking shorts, Lee?
Oh, I was hoping her boobs would pop out.
Boob?
Yeah.
What, you fucking 8?
What?
I don't want to ever see a boob again. At this age, I just want to go direct for the fucking Mongois.
You know
what's a boob? I can see a boob in a PG fucking 13 movie. Fuck that. That's blasé.
Yeah, but when have you seen it on TV?
Who gives a
live
fuck?
TV.
Fuck that. Live Memorex. I don't give a fuck. I want to see that monkey from behind. I want to go into a triangle and the shorts just go bam. And that little fucking pussy flaps hanging on cable. That's a fucking sight. Where that little labia is just hanging. Is that what it's called?
Labia close.
Whatever the fuck it is. You know me. I didn't win no spelling bee. Got second. Lele fucking Leland. A Monday morning, February. What is it?
Did you say 25th?
Yeah, we're going to have a good time in Testicle Testaments. We're going to talk about, you know, for a long time I was getting in trouble as a kid, but. The hardest thing I went through was 84 when I was homeless for 19 fucking days. And it was fucking weirdly. I think about those times now and I want to puke. It's the only real... Even prison doesn't make me puke. I enjoy it. Don't do it! I enjoy all that shit. It was... don't do it! The fucking black guys love me. They come in, dog, how's the food? Don't do it. Ah, man, I'm fucking hungry. Don't do it. Don't fucking do it. Even then, I've always been like, I could look at food and it's fucking nasty. I won't eat it.
Oh yeah, there's
there's some food I will not fucking eat, Lee.
Yeah,
and that's what saves me. That I'm such a fucking priss when it comes to food. When I was a kid, one thing my mother stressed was really, really, really high level action food. Like if we went to get meat at the butcher, she always got the best, and I knew where she was coming from. You know, and I'm the same way. That's why my edibles are always strong. That's why my weed always kills people. That's why when I was a kid, people always want to call me for blow. Because you always strive to buy the best. What the fuck? It costs you an extra couple fucking dollars. What the fuck? Fuck that. You're not going no more fast food, Lee.
Yeah, no more places with a drive-thru.
Nothing. No, that's it. That was a... You know, I was in Long Island. I was working Governors, which I can't wait to go back. But they put me in this hotel across from the Nassau Coliseum, which I loved. And I'm in Long Island, New York, and a kid gets on the fucking thing. I told this story with a pizza from that company that gives away free pizza on the Super Bowl.
Oh, Papa John's.
How good do you think pizza is that they're giving it away? The other hand is pizza costs a dollar to make.
Yeah.
A pizza costs a dollar to fucking make. If you ever watch 29th Street, there's a movie, 29th Street, with Danny Aiello and Anthony Lampaglia.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest pseudo mob movies ever made. It's not even a mob movie. It's about Danny Aiello winning a lottery ticket. And I would try to download it. I wanted to talk about it on this show. It's about a guy who borrowed money, and the guy took his fucking company, and then he gets a lottery ticket.
Okay.
You ever see that movie, Beverly Hills Cop? No, you ever see it?
Yeah.
Is it Beverly Hills Cop? No, Midnight Run. In the beginning of Midnight Run.
I don't think I've seen that.
Okay, in the beginning of Midnight, right, because you're a fucking moot. You'd rather go see the fat chick and the fucking dude. You got time to go see that in the movie theater. When he told me that, I wanted to strangle him. But
good.
Midnight Run is on fucking Netflix. You won't watch one of the classics. But in the beginning of that, the beginning of two movies, and again, in Beverly Hills Cop, Eddie Murphy is selling cigarettes to a guy. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You didn't see that
either.
Cigarettes to an Italian guy.
Yeah.
And the guy looks at him and he goes, who do you think you're dealing with, Joey Bananas? The guy he's talking to, I forget what his name is, he wrote the script 29th Street. They didn't make him the star. They gave the star part to Anthony Lampagna, and they made him the brother.
Okay.
So if you watch 29th Street, the brother in that movie is who wrote the script. It's a fucking hilarious movie about an Italian family. And what they do in this is he wins a lottery ticket and he gives it to the mob, but he didn't really give it to the mob. The father has it, so he really wins the $3 million and they're out of debt. It's a great little cute story. What the fuck was I talking about? I don't even know what the fuck I was talking about.
I forgot too. Shit.
Me too. I'm fucking stoned.
Dog. Yeah.
I love it on Monday mornings. Well, we get nice and blasted.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were talking about New Orleans, and then we're talking. Oh. A guy came on the bus with pizza.
The bus with pizza. Yeah. So he can put that pizza on. I'm thinking to myself, this fucking mook. You live in Long Island, but you're fucking getting Papa John's. This is where pizza was invented. When Jesus came to the United States, this is where he got pizza from, was Long Island. And here you are getting Papa John's. It's the youth that's supporting this fucking movement.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who the fuck's eating this shit. These are like Britney Spears albums. I don't know who the fuck is eating this shit.
It's not easy now. I could order on this computer. I could have a 3-course meal here in 30 minutes. I don't have to call them.
From where?
Anywhere. There's websites and thousands of restaurants are online.
Oh, no. I know that you could call up and there's a guy that'll go pick up breakfast for you. Why don't you do that instead of going to get fast food?
No, I'm saying the fast food places aren't here. Some of the better places aren't.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I tell you what, I used to get at Jack in the Box.
Yeah?
This is when I knew that Jack in the Box was bad for you. When I sold cars to Bill Crouch Subaru, Jack in the Box in the late 80s used to have a seafood crab salad. That shit put weight on you. And in my mind, I thought it was healthy because I would get the iced tea. They had the sweetened iced tea in those days. Good googly moogly. That shit will kill him, brother. You know what I'm saying? Leland. Did you watch all the fights this week? And you said you weren't happy with Lyoto Machida fight.
I watched the pay-per-view. I didn't watch the prelims. And there's a difference between a good fighting and an entertaining fight. So I know Lyoto Machida had it's a good strategy. But if he's getting so close to a title fight, as a fan, I don't want a title winner to just hide away. I like Anderson, who goes after you, and John Jones, who will fight with you.
But Anderson is also one of those fighters that he doesn't go into a fight to bang with you.
No, he tests it out, but he doesn't all, like, the entire fight, Lyoto probably took 2 steps forward. It bothers me, and Henderson's really trying.
Do you know how hard fucking Henderson hits?
Well, yeah.
You know, if you stay in his fucking zone, you ever see, like, when Top Gun, when they show, like,
yeah.
If you stay in his zone, he'll knock your fucking head off. Like, people who are professionals get their head knocked off. Can you imagine guys like you and me?
Yeah.
You would knock our heads off. Well, wait till the chick farts in your face. Your head's going to be rolling somewhere. But you don't want to stand in front of him. So I knew he wasn't going to play. He was going to play the deception type game.
Yeah.
The game that I'm not going to get hit. You know, one of the most interesting conversations I had was with Ed Suarez, who called the podcast last week one night, talking about Anderson Silva, that when he leaves his house to fight, he wants to come back how he left for his kids. He never wants his kids to see his face beat up.
Yeah.
You'll never see, even when Chael Sonnen beat him off in the bottom, his face wasn't beat. He's got that Brazilian leather fucking lizard skin. Those Brazilians, they don't give a fuck between the ocean, the salt, and the fucking sun. It makes that dark fucking skin even tougher than what it. You can't stab Anderson Silva. Your fucking knife will bend. You know what I'm saying? Like one of those kung fu knives and shit. So, you know, listen, when I watched, like even this week I watched it. If you would have watched the prelims, you would have watched LeVar Johnson against Brendan Schaub. Now, on paper, that fight was Godzilla versus King Kong. They could have stood face to face and just threw punches at each other.
Yeah.
Anybody knows if LeVar Johnson hits you, your fucking skull is going. He doesn't even knock your head off. When your head flies off, your skeleton flies out. All he leaves is skin, like fucking Cocoon. Remember the movie Cocoon? The old guys would take out.
Yeah, didn't see that I didn't either. See it, but I've seen
it. No, I know you didn't fucking see that either. It's a good movie. But you go see a fat chick, identity theft, you fucking mook. That's why I love you.
You saw it in the theater. I fucking have to go in the theater.
I'll fucking stab you and I'll fucking pee in your fruit juice cup.
Jesus Christ.
What was I talking about? See, you get me high and confused, cocksucker.
About LeVar Johnson and...
LeVar Johnson. So what are you going to do? Stand in front of him? Now, Brendan Schaub likes to fucking punch. Brendan Schaub was an NFL player. When I seen Brendan Schaub take him down, I knew Brendan Schaub was thinking now. Yeah. Everybody hits hard in the UFC. I could stand in front of you, and we could throw punches till one of us fucking dies. It's not that. You got to fight smart. You got to fight a little fucking on the smart side. The other name you mentioned was Carlos Condit, who's got a tremendous fight coming up March 16th because they moved his fight. He's fighting Rory McDonald, who called him out, got hurt, so they moved Johnny Hendricks up.
Oh, okay.
So it's Johnny Hendricks. Johnny Hendricks hits like a fucking bulldozer. Do you really think Carlos Condit is going to stand in front of that right hand?
No, it's going to go
and let him move at him. He's going to move around. You don't want to let those guys stand. So I appreciate that style of fighting. I'm not here to get hit. I'm here. You want to throw punches? I'm here to go in and out.
Yeah.
In and out. Bah, 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 and get the fuck out of there. Bah, 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 and win on points. That's how he beats people, on fucking points. Every once in a while, he knocked out Rashad Evans and shit like that. But what did you think of Ronda Rousey and Liz Carmouche?
Ooh, I thought I was scared for Ronda. I thought she was going to lose when, like, her face. Because I've wrestled. I've had my face like that. That hurts. But yeah, that was a. I would have been bad for the UFC if Ronda lost already. So it was a.
I don't think it would have been bad for UFC.
You don't think so?
No, listen, man. Anytime an underdog, listen. Well, anytime a guy like me comes through, it's a feather in all these people's hats that watch Twitter. It's every time a guy like me. And listen, man, when a guy looks good and he's 23 and he's funny or halfway witty, you're supposed to fucking do something with it if you're out here. But me, I was the underdog since day one. That's why we got all these people on Twitter listening to the fucking podcast, because you guys know I'm a fucking killer. You guys know I don't fuck around. They just fucked up. They just fucked up, and it happens sometimes, but we're here still having a good time. And you can't get mad at nobody for doing that. But Liz Carmouche, I'm very proud of Liz Carmouche.
I know, she did great.
I fucking did great and went out there. She didn't give a fuck, and that's what it's all about. Like you, you're going for this fucking diet. Why fuck around with 1 foot in the water?
Yeah.
Put both feet in the fucking water and go for it. You think those Cubans, when they fucking swim over here, they put 1 foot in, they go up. You don't make it, the sharks get you.
Yeah.
It's either the sharks, Fidel, or fucking America.
Yeah.
You gotta go for it, motherfucker, every day. Don't make me put on the national anthem and start getting people. I can't even do the national anthem because I talked about Obama's wife last night. The feds will definitely show up in the house. I definitely love Obama's
wife. I was happy for Uriah, but Uriah, because he lost the last couple fights, right?
Who's that?
Uriah Faber.
Uriah Faber won.
Yeah, no, week. But I'm saying I was proud of
him. Yeah, I'm happy for him because I heard that he would get cut. I know LeVar Johnson's probably gonna get cut, and I feel bad for him. He's a hard hitter, but in the UFC today, it's not about hard hitting. Everybody hits hard.
Yeah.
It's diversity in what you do. You have to go in there and fight smart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I take my hat off to Brendan Schaub. He took him down. He held him down. You know, and it's the same thing with what we do. I did comedy for 10 years like a fucking savage. It got nothing for me. Then we started working smart. You came in my life, and look, we got a podcast. We did movies. You got to work smartly.
Yeah.
We were talking about this earlier. With anything that you do in life, you can either make your life harder or you can make your life easier. Why walk at the airport carrying your luggage when it's got fucking wheels?
Yeah.
Correct? You can make your life easier. You can make your life... Life's going to have its bad fucking things. You're going to get a ticket on a Monday. You know what I'm saying? The odds are against you. Things are going to happen in your life. You can only control this fucking area here. And that's what we strive to do.
Yeah.
With the church, a motherfucking what's happening. Now, Lili Sayat, you bad motherfucker juicing it. So your shit's coming out green and you whack off and see how your sperm is coming out? Smell like fucking...
I don't smell it, but it's
you gotta smell it. You don't whack off and smell your little tropical helmet juice?
No.
It's not even tropical no more.
I've done it before, but I don't do it every time.
Do you lick it? You ever lick your own sperm? Like, just taste it?
No.
You gotta do that today. Call me. Tell me how it tastes. Bang one out on fucking sweet tits over here on that eyeball. And just taste and see if it tastes like lettuce or onions.
I'm not gonna taste it.
Why not? How come you expect fucking Rose and all these other freaks to taste it?
Because I'll go down on them. I don't want to taste...
You go down on them, but you won't eat the muffler. You won't eat the nucleus of the fucking muffler.
You taste your sperm?
Huh?
You
all the time. I tasted it this morning. That's what gets me fucking going. I bang one out in the shower. You put a little under your tongue. Under your tongue. You're like a fucking soldier. Some people fucking drink their piss. Why fuck around with the middleman? I go right for the root of the fucking sperm, like testosterone. You put it under your tongue. Just get a little glob and you fucking do 10 sit-ups and you're ready to go and shit.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's Monday morning, motherfuckers. Get out there. Write your goals. Have a great fucking week. I love. What's up, Lee? What are you giggling about? I cannot believe you're 20. That's a problem. See, now that you're eating the fat, now is when you gotta do it. Now you bang one out a good one.
I don't know if you're allowed in my house anymore.
And when you fuck, when you come on the mirror, you just take a piece of it and put it on your tongue, and you go fucking bananas.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
That's why you're slipping. That's
I
why.
I don't think I'm slipping.
It burns fat.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, if you taste just a little bit, I don't want you to drink in the whole fucking cup of fucking jizz. But if you put a little under your tongue, you get all fucking yoked up like fucking. Like Sylvester Stallone.
I'm sticking to my guns on this one.
You better start tasting it, cocksucker. I want to thank everybody for listening to the podcast. I want to thank our beautiful fucking sponsors and for helping us out. Lee, today on the way to work, come get your Onnit shit. Especially now since you're doing it. Well, you can't take vitamins right now.
I can take vitamins.
Okay, come get the strong bone and some vitamins I got over there for you from Onnit. And get it together. Go to Onnit.com. Order the 3-pack. Type in church in a little box and get 10% off. Let's get on the mailing list and I'll take care of you motherfuckers. You know I love you guys always. Lee, what else? What else?
And then don't forget, we got the church shirts now.
You got the church shirts. Go to joeycocodiaz.net for tour dates, tickets. Everything is on there now. You can't get me with no fucking excuses, all right? We got Testicle Testaments this week. $10 on Wednesday night. It always sells out. Call the Ice House right now. 626-577-1894. Come on down. Leo be there. We smoke some dope. My buddy, the Armenians, are there. Then Thursday through Saturday, I'm at the Brea Improv. I don't know what that fucking number is, but it don't matter. Go to the website, improv.com. Type in Brea. Go to fucking the calendar and get your tickets now. That'll sell out. Beside that, we got a lot of shit going on. The La Nuit Theater in New Orleans. I'll be in New Orleans for a fucking week over at the Firehouse with my boys, smoking dope, fucking barbecuing, whatever, doing new chucks. And I can't wait. Life is great. The baby's good. And most importantly, you're getting your life in order. In 3 months from now, Lee will be looking like a real aerodynamic flying Jew.
Oh, shit.
You know, you've been a flying Jew with little humps and bumps. You know what I'm saying? Now you're going to be an aerodynamic fucking flying Jew. So I'm proud of you that you took the first step because nothing happens unless you take the first step. Everybody fucking knows that. And beside that, that's it. I love you motherfuckers with all my heart. I appreciate everything you do for me, for keeping me fucking alive, and for laughing at my stupid fucking jokes. Stay black. Matt Flavor's World is coming back. Lee, give these cocksuckers a kiss. What song you got for them, Lee?
I got some Nobody's Fault from Aerosmith.
You gonna wiggle?
I guess.
All right. Let's do this. Little fucking Joe Perry solo on heroin. Hit it! Oh, shit. Look at Lee, wiggle for Uncle Joey. What? Wiggle those fucking, look at you, you savage, dude. Don't forget you gotta whack off and taste that little fucking Keith sperm, whatever the fuck you got there.
No.